This is a Gorilla Podcast Network production.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Backyard Maker Show.
Backyard Maker Show.
We speak that. That real.
Peace, 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 interweblians, beautiful people. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Backyard Mecca Show. BackyardMeccaShow.com on the all new Gorilla Podcast Network. Thank you for coming back, man. Yo, today I got a special guest host in the house, my boy Craig. Craig, what's going on, bro?
What's happening, family? Yo, the struggle.
Yo, you know, man, we're here, man. We're back, man. Welcome back, man. You haven't been here in a little bit.
Appreciate it.
You know, this is a special show for two reasons, man. Number one, man, this is the 1 year anniversary of the Backyard Mecca Show. So, you know, very happy to be here. You know, we made it a year. So here's the thing though, man. My 1 year anniversary was March 21st, which was about 2 weeks ago. I should have put the show out, but I have a lot of shit going on right now, man. As my interweblings, I usually listen, remember, you know, I have this studio. I have the new studio that's actually about to open. We're almost done getting the floors done in there. Everything is done up, painted and stuff. So I've just been busy, man, you know, the clothing shit too, the photography, and just trying to, you know, being a father and husband and all that shit at the same time, bro. But we're back, man. So we're doing the 1 year anniversary show right now, even though it's a little late. So just pardon me, guys. You know, we've been hustling over here. We're gonna try to get back on track with everything. Thank y'all for tuning in again and supporting, man, everybody from all over the place that listens in. Yeah, man, so I'm just happy to celebrate the 1 year anniversary, man. I didn't, you know, when I first started doing this last year, I didn't think it was, I just didn't know how far we were going to take it, you know what I mean? So we went from the show to creating a studio to having a network to now having two studios within less than a year. That shit's pretty crazy, you know what I mean? On top of everything else, but yeah, I'm happy, man. We got a lot of new dope shows on the Gorilla Podcast Network, man. Shout out to the TSD Podcast, the Spinner's Digest Show. Please go check them out. That's a DJ-oriented show where DJs get on there. They talk about their gigs, their adventures, you know, working the club, working with artists, big-time artists. You know, they talk about equipment and all that shit. It's a dope conversation piece, man. Also, check out the Late Night Potluck Show, which is another dope show. It's a bunch of chefs and entrepreneurs that get together. They're foodies, you know, so they talk about food. They bring in food and shit, and it's like the Food Network. They talk about, they'll bring in a dish, they'll eat it, they'll fucking be chewing in your ear, but it's dope because they talk about it and all that. So I'm excited because we have a lot of well-rounded shows on here. We also have Rakia Uncensored, which started about a month ago. She's a cool, dope show, talks a lot about her life and community stuff, music she likes, you know, just her own little style and shit like that, man. So it's dope, man. Shout out to Rakia. We also have a brand new show that started last week called Helping Hands, which is my brother Julian and his brother Christian Velez. Basically what that's about is immigration. They deal with Julian is an immigration translator in the court system and shit like that. So he helps immigrants fill out paperwork for jobs and court stuff and things like that, or whenever they need to fill up stuff, you know, things that have to do with their process and all that. Christian does the same thing. So that's dope, you know what I mean? Especially with the climate with the immigration and shit, what's going on now.
Yes, indeed.
Who else we got, man? Oh, we got Naya's World. She just recorded last night, as a matter of fact, her first show, which is dope. She'll be dropping every Friday. Naya's World, another dope show. She will be talking about her trials and tribulations in the hip-hop world. You know, she has guests come up here. Some will be music artists, will be other guests. She plays a little bit of music on her show, a little bit of freestyles in there. So, man, we got a lot, man. Who are I missing? 28 Days Later, man. My brother DJ Sabotage from WESU. 28 Days Later, man. It's nothing but boom bap. You know what I'm saying? If you into that MF Doom, you know what I'm saying? That little brother, that real grungy Immortal Technique. Like, he plays nothing but that. So that's a nice other show, and I think that's about it, man. We got a couple other, we got a sports show that's going to join the new network over there. But yo, man, enough about that, man. Again, thank you guys for being here, man. But man, first I want to start this off. I want to give a, we're going to do a quick moment of silence, man. We're going to do a moment of silence for Nipsey Hussle, man, who got gunned down this past Sunday in a disgusting manner, you know, in front of his own business, man. Somebody who was fighting for his community and bringing unity and
a leader and an entrepreneur.
Yeah, providing jobs and teaching people how to become entrepreneurs. So real quick, man, just a quick moment of silence for Nipsey, man. Yeah, man. Rest in peace, brother, man.
Rest in peace, Nip.
Yo, man. So this is going to be more of a tribute show, man. We want to talk about Nipsey, his life, his music, his contributions to society. You know, like we said, his business ventures, how he was bringing the communities together, the gangs together. Just the way he was moving as far as a businessman, a MC, a father, a husband, a brother, a leader, a community activist, man, and all that shit is like, at the end of the day, he was just a beautiful soul, man. Yeah. And he was taken away from us for some senseless, stupid ass shit, man, that I'm still angry about. I know a lot of people are angry about, grown men dropping tears for this shit, because it was just, yo, like, it just doesn't make sense, man. You know what I mean?
No.
Especially with what happened, man. So real quick, let's just talk about it, man, from what we know. So this past Sunday, you know, Nipsey was in his hometown, man, at his clothing store, in his plaza, when he owned a plaza out there in Crenshaw's Lawson, and he was just hanging out, you know what I'm saying? And they're saying the murderer, man, came into a, you know, don't quote me, man, because, you know, there's always stories out there. But the gist of it is that the murderer either came into the store or they saw each other outside or something. And they said Nipsey respectfully told him, like, yo, you got to go. You can't be around here. You're a known snitch. You know, he's a known snitch from the Crips, the same crew that Nipsey's
yeah,
from.
Rolling 60s.
Yeah, the Rolling 60s. So Nipsey respectfully told him, you know, you got to bounce. You can't be around here no more. And, yo, I think it was like 2 hours later or something like that, he comes back and basically puts five in his body, one in Nipsey's head, and then the piece of shit goes and kicks.
Is he dead kick, bro?
Yo, he fucking kicked him in the head after shooting him five times in the body and once in the head. And then he kicks him in the head and runs off. How much of a coward can you be, bro? You know what I mean? But we're not really going to dwell on that, dude, man. They caught the piece of shit, too. So, you know, he doesn't have too many days left. He's a dead man walking, man. You know how that go.
Yeah.
Whether it's out on the streets or in jail. But yeah, man, this show's more about Nipsey, man, and unfortunately he got taken out in that manner. 'Cause he was a stand up guy, you know what I mean, from what we know of him and from how he maneuvered, man. So it's a big loss, man. We feel for his family, man, for his two kids, his you know, brothers and sisters, his mother, father, especially Lauren London, man. Like that love that they had, man, like we were talking about earlier, man, they had a yeah, beautiful love, man, a real love, some real G shit, but like some real, like,
yeah,
yo, some real king, queen, genuine shit, man. Like, and that's something to look up to, man. That's something that, that's another thing that I think he was teaching the hood too, man. 'Cause you know, when we come from, man, it's a lot of, like, you know, chicks and, you know, and
love is looked down upon, so
yeah,
to speak.
And then jumping around type shit, man. And I'm sure he, you know, everybody does that when you're younger, but I think that he was teaching that to our people too, that, yo, like, you know, when you find someone that's a beautiful soul, you settle down, and
it's okay to connect, and it's okay to put it on display for people.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
as a like a jealousy type thing, but just to show you, like, this does exist.
Yeah,
you can look for it and it can happen.
Yeah, man. So, you know, just a lot of prayers and positive energy going out to to Lauren London and the family and his whole family and his friends. And
his community, period.
The community, period, man, because they loved him, bro, man. Like, if you see, I'm sure you saw some of the interviews, people were...
in tears immediately.
Bro, broken because they... And that's the first things that they were saying. He would help us. He helped us. Like, yo, he bought that property where he was at. He used to hustle in front of that property. They said that was his hood. And back in the day, I guess, whoever owned it would... run all the kids out of there. You know what I'm saying?
They wouldn't be allowed to, like,
yeah, they weren't allowed to be on there. So he ended up buying it. And not only did he put his own, Marathon clothing store in there, they had a restaurant they were opening up, or if they opened up already, in a barbershop and other stores in there. So not only did he do that, he was employing people from that same community and giving them jobs, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he was doing some real leadership, man.
He was really giving back.
Yeah, yo, so... you know, he could have went to Hollywood. He had the money to do this shit anywhere he wanted to. But he decided to stay right there, man.
He decided to build his community.
Unfortunately, man, it's unbearable to even speak of. Like, you know, like, it's the fucking closest people to you, man, a lot of times, man. And, damn, yo. Like, just lost for words, man. Just like when I first found out on how it went down, like, you know, someone who's in the same crew as you, same neighborhood, you probably grew up together, to come back and do some shit like that. Like, my whole thing is, like, did Nip really deserve all that just because he told the dude to bounce and let him know that they know he's a no snitch? Did it have to go to that extreme? Like, was it for all that, for him to put five in him, one in the head and a kick in the head? Like, did he really have to murder him, yo? Like,
exactly. And it seems kind of wild because supposedly the man had mental health issues. Supposedly he was in and out of the mental house, and he was already corroborating with police. So it's just, it almost seems like somebody amped him up to do that. Because it was a very extreme act of violence, especially for someone that you grew up with. I could understand, like, yo, he told to get less jail time, but at the same time, do you really hold that much animosity for someone that you grew up around? Like, yeah. How could you?
And from my understanding, they ain't never really have no other problem. Like, it was just that day, two hours before he killed him, they had the little argument or whatever when Nipsey was like, yo, you gotta bounce. And, yo, you're gonna come back and do all that?
Yeah, in front of women and children and shit.
Yeah, he was literally taking pictures with kids. Like, you could see some of the pictures online before that happened, a little bit before that happened.
Exactly. And if you already established, no stripes off that. Especially not from your own set. You're like, you signed your own death warrant with that shit.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, you know, like they said, this dude was a known snitch. From what I read, he's got bodies on him. He's done other dirt, and they keep letting him out. How you keep letting somebody like that out? The only reason that they let people like that out, bro, you and I know, is that, you know, he's an informant.
Yeah, he's either an informant or he's a hitman. Like,
yeah,
I forget the man's name, but I think it was Larry Davis. That the police in, I want to say either like Harlem or the Bronx, they had him knocking off drug dealers, and they was taking over their blocks and shit.
Crazy.
And then they wound up coming after him after.
Yeah. But this dude, Eric Holder, he doesn't even deserve the spotlight, his name being said, but he doesn't seem like he was too much of an intelligent dude, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, he don't seem like he was wrapped too tight with this decision.
So, again, man, unfortunately, we have to bring the situation up to talk about what's going on in Brother Nipsey, you know. But yeah, man, you know, this is gonna be a tribute show, man. We're gonna play a couple tracks, man. We're gonna talk about him and his efforts, his community work, his music, his talent with his words, his talent with his business, His the way he moved business wise, man. His business mentality, and the family man that he is, the leader that he was, the person of inspiration. You know, especially where he came from, man. You know, he came up in Cali, man, under that, you know.
All that gang
shit. Yeah, that ain't no easy shit out there, man. That shit is real out there. That gang shit is really real out there, man. That code is...
it's to the point where you can't listen. Like, if somebody from a rival set, like, you can't fuck with YG, you can't listen to his music. You bump his music, you're going to get reprimanded.
Yeah.
And at the point, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Nipsey, but Nipsey wore whatever color the fuck he wanted. That's how good he was. You hear other rappers say, I'm good in any hood, but Nip was actually one of those people. Mm. Like, before his death, he actually signed an artist that signed to Bounty Hunter Bloods. Oh, excuse me, that is from Bounty Hunter Bloods. I'm not sure if Bounty Hunter Bloods actually still have beef with the Rolling 60s in any way, shape, or form, but that's big. For the man to lose his life in his own neighborhood by someone that's supposed to be cut from the same cloth, but for him to be able to go into quote unquote enemy territory and be able to speak in politics with other folks, that's kind of wild to me.
It's that shit is bonkers, man. That's like some other world type shit. I can't register it, bro.
Yeah, he's safer around supposed enemies than amongst longtime friends. That's wild as shit.
That's how it is though, man. Unfortunately, that shit is wild though, man. Like, yo, he was in front of his own establishment. Yo, I'm sure he felt safe, you know what I'm saying? He felt comfortable. Yeah. So for that to happen, like, yo, man. Oh, man. But, the amount of love that he got on social media, man, from everybody and everywhere, like, there's been artists that die all the time and you see love. But, bro, this dude had love from everywhere. All the music industry, actors, basketball players, Bloods, Crips, the Essays, even the police.
Yeah.
From California, Los Angeles, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, even the head of the police was shot. He was like, this is a voice of the community. Yeah. He couldn't believe it, he said. He said he looked like three times at the name to make sure it was right. And as everybody knows, the next day, Nip was supposed to have a meeting with the police about trying to stop the same shit that got him killed.
Yeah,
violence.
Cool tensions amongst gangs. Like, a lot of people don't know or understand this, but the police aren't good everywhere they go, and they're advised to stay away from certain neighborhoods. They get shot at too, it's like everybody else. And Nip was on some other shit where he was trying to cool tensions with them too.
Yeah, man. So that's big, and that's why he had that respect. You know what I mean? Because people knew that he was respected, and you know, it's one thing to be respected out of fear, but it's another thing to be respected out of love.
Like, and that's a crazy part.
It was love, bro. It was love. It was no fear. Nip wasn't that dude.
Good.
From what I've researched and from what I've seen, he wasn't that dude to be, Sonny from Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where he says you gotta have people respect you out of fear, not love. Nah, he was. That's why people respected him, because he was real, and he showed the love. No matter if you were Blood, Crip, SA Cop, whatever.
Yeah, show respect. I give respect. That's what he was about.
That's why it's such a big loss, man. It's such a big loss, man. Just period, you know? To take someone's life, it's a loss. But for the value that he put here on this earth while he was here in this society, what he was teaching other people, the kids, the community, the world, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he was showing everybody that it was a different way from what he grew up under.
And that's big though, man. That's big to come out of that type of hole and spread your wings and be able to leave that and not even come back and ever look back, and you'll be good. And to still
be there and try to save people.
And then that's what causes your death, man. He's a martyr. He's a revolutionary.
Yes, indeed.
You know what I'm saying? He's a leader. And he'll always be, man. And those are the type of dudes that I look up to, man. Whether it's music, whatever. He's someone who's gonna be remembered, man. He's honestly this generation's Tupac in his own way, man. You know what I'm saying? And as far as the gang culture, obviously, I think he did a little more than obviously Pac did. You know what I mean? Pac was good for, you know, how he did it, and much respect to Pac, obviously. But Nip, man, Nip did it.
Nip was actually unifying people.
And Nip was doing it from the ground up, man. Nip was doing it. You know, he didn't want no label, like we were talking earlier. You know, he didn't want to sign a no label. He created his own independence. Yeah,
he wanted to be an owner.
Yeah, an owner instead of a worker, you know what I'm saying? And he was teaching the people that too, which is big.
Yeah, he moved his own product and proved to them, like, look, this is what I'm worth. I can do this without you. What can you do for me?
Crazy, man. And so I first, like, you know, I'm not big into West Coast rappers at all, I'll be honest. I'm not saying all of them, especially this kind of new generation. But I first heard about Nip, it was about a year ago. And I know he's been out way before that, you know, obviously.
It's like 2007, 2008, yeah. With you.
Yeah, so, you know, it just wasn't on my radar. When he came on my radar, I'll tell you the first time he came on my radar. About a year ago, I was listening to the Combat Jack Show. He was on an interview. Now, this might have come out before that, a year or two before that, or even more. And he was on the Combat Jack Show, and he was talking about his business. Now, I think his music is cool, and I like his music. I can't say I'm a big fan. I'm becoming one now more than ever because I'm starting to, it just became on my radar, so I'm listening to this. So I'm not one of these fake fans, like, but I'm showing the love, bro, because not of him being an artist. I'm showing the love because of him being the leader.
Yeah,
that always attracts me to, you know what I mean? Just like I love Carmelo Anthony. His basketball skills are all right, but he's a fucking leader. He does shit in the community.
Same thing with Hines Ward.
Same shit with Roberto Clemente. Was an awesome baseball player, but what he did and how he died for the people. So same thing with Nip, man. So I heard him on the Combat Jack Show, and I heard, yo, the way he was talking about his business moves that he wanted to do and everything he was doing.
Like bringing like tech and shit to Slauson and shit.
Yeah.
Or getting people from his neighborhood to work in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, man. Like everything from his business moves, how he wanted to be independent, from him selling a mixtape for $100, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, some people looking at him like he was crazy, but he understood the value of scarcity and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
rarity.
Rarity and stuff. So shit like that interested me and put me on his radar. Put him on my radar because he was already out there doing his thing, obviously. So yeah, it was that Combat Jack Show podcast episode. And what else I heard him talking about? Just making moves coming up. I believe he had mentioned Lauren London, which I didn't know either, that, you know what I'm saying, since then. But yeah, man, so that's when I first heard of Nip, and I heard some of his music. They played some of his music on the show. But it wasn't his music that, again, you know, I'm not gonna act like a fake fan. I'm a fan now more of his music because I'm listening, but
it was the person. Sometimes it's different. Like after you become a fan of the person, you become a fan of the music.
Yeah, because you know what? I understood what he was doing with his community and as a businessman, which it was inspirational. And then the music is a part of it, so you know it's inevitable that you're gonna run into everything else. And then me as a clothing brand owner, I didn't know he had Marathon Clothing.
Yeah.
So that's another dope thing.
And it's named after one of his mixtapes.
Yeah, that's dope, man. And I like how he was doing the whole Marathon Victory Lap, you know what I'm saying? Going down the line and shit. Maybe the next one would have been Finish Line or something. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
you know, like it was just dope that, you know what I mean? So yeah, bro, to know that he had a clothing line, to know how he was doing other business ventures. He was trying to get into real estate, they say.
Yeah.
He had a barbershop, I think he was opening, or he opened up a restaurant. Yeah. Bro, and not only that, he was opening up soon, all across the country, he was supposed to open up those STEM programs or whatever for the kids and shit. Like,
yep.
Bro, those are power moves, bro. Those are power moves of an individual that came out of nothing and decided not to go mainstream and sign with anybody else and did it himself by the bootstraps independently. Yo, that shit is big, bro.
Yeah, he was a very self-motivated individual.
That shit is big, bro. That
is a human being that is literally above their circumstances.
Bro, it's a big loss, bro. It's a big loss.
Definitely.
It's a big loss, man. And everybody's destroyed over this shit, bro. Like Lauren London just posted up a post yesterday, I think, for the first time, you know, 4 days, 5 days after it happened. And she put up a picture, you know, it's a picture of him. It was his kids. He had a daughter and a son. It was a picture of him and Lauren also. And you know, she as a matter of fact, man, let me see if I could pull that up, man, because she put up a real heartbreaking message with that, man. And I just want to read it, man. So the people that don't know how deep their love was and how just real and and just, I don't know, man. They were like a hip hop royalty couple, like a real hip hop royalty couple. You know what I'm saying? Like not this Love and Hip Hop shit, man.
The stage shit, but more like it's like Remy and Fat Boots and shit. Right?
Yeah, like big.
Like even, I'm gonna stick it out even if shit gets bad.
Exactly. Even Jay, I respect Jay and Beyonce how they move. You know what I'm saying? Like like it was a thing like that, man. So here it is right here, man. And she wrote, I am completely lost. I've lost my best friend, my sanctuary, my protector, my soul. I'm lost without you. We are lost without you, babe. I have no words. Man.
Yeah.
She's destroyed to pieces right now, man. This is the type of thing that does not go away easy either, bro.
Nah, and the worst part is that although she kind of signed up for it, the world is reminding her every day, hourly.
Oh, yeah.
So with that being said, like, if you really want to show respect to the man, number one, please don't keep sharing his death. Number one, and please don't ask for, like, I understand, like, he was connected to a lot of people, so please don't bug your favorite West Coast artist for music right now. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's kind of reeling. Everybody's feeling this. And more importantly, there's going to be retaliation efforts. So there's different people in different neighborhoods that are connected to famous people that you see on Instagram or Snapchat all the time. They're not going to be posting as much because they're worried about their family. So just be respectful.
Absolutely, man. Let's stop posting, you know, the surveillance videos of him getting gunned down.
Yeah.
You know, let's post our memories of him. Let's post his music. Let's post his pictures and what he meant to the community. Why you liked him. You know, let's exactly. Post inspiring things to make Lauren and the family feel good and smile. They don't want to see. They know what happened. They've seen that video already too. They don't want to keep seeing that shit 100 times, exactly. 1,000 times a day. Like, I'm sure Lauren's not even looking at social media right now because that's too much to bear. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And she probably has 1,001 phone calls coming in.
I'm sorry
for your loss. And eventually you go numb to that shit.
Yeah, man. You don't want to hear it. You just want to, I'm sure she's just wants to
hug her babies and be away from the world.
Yeah, just be, you know, facing the pillow in the bed and just screaming and crying, man. I can only imagine, man. Yo, the other thing too, man, I've been noticing, man, these parasites out there, like on Facebook, that have these little clothing things, and I don't know if you've seen it,
yeah,
man. You know, and it's not just with Nipsey, man, but yo, they have all these shirts, you know, rest in peace, Nipsey. They're calling themselves Nipsey fan pages or whatever, and they're fucking fake, man. So don't support none of that bullshit, man, because those dudes are fucking leeches, parasites, just trying to make money off of a dead man that hasn't even been dead for a few days. I seen this shit the next day or hours later pages, yep. And I'm like, what the fuck? I was even going on there being like, yo, y'all fucking garbage for this, man. So listen, if you want to buy some stuff, if you want to support him and his family, go to the Marathon website for his clothing. Marathon, just look it up. Marathon, buy anything from there, man. We need to help support the family right now. You know, he's not here no more to bring in money like that, you know. So we need to help the family out, the kids out. The kids got to go to college. They still got to eat, man. They got to grow. Go to Marathon. I believe it's marathon.com. I don't know the exact, but just Google Marathon. You can buy stuff right from there, man. Let's support the family. And also, let's, you know, I'm glad to hear that today I saw his music is streaming over 2,000%. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that shit happens every time somebody dies. But you know what? We're putting money in his family's pocket by doing that, because he owned this shit. So he's getting all the money, which is great. So let's not support none of this bullshit. I know we want to put on our, you know, especially, you know, in the black and brown communities in the hood and shit, we always want to throw on a fucking rest in peace shirt and all that, and that's fine. But don't go supporting these people that don't give two shits about Nip or what he stood for or his family, man. Please.
And it's all, to be honest with you, it's all Chinese made shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, they're not even like people that are necessarily from here. They just have access to American internet. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to deal with the consumers. Cause
yeah, I read one was from like Poland or some shit.
Yeah.
And it said, I don't even remember what it said, man. It don't even matter. But yeah, just, you know, them, especially them Facebook joints, man. Just if you ever want to support any artist that passes away, go straight to their website that is connected to them officially and support that way, please, man. Let's not let these leeches make money off of dead people, man. That shit is fucking disgusting, man.
Opportunists, bro.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them everywhere, man, and it's unfortunate. But again, man, let's just share the good shit, man. You know, let's share the beautiful pictures. Yo, I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you saw it. Recently, he did a photo shoot with Lauren, man. There's that one with him and her wearing all white on the white horse.
Yeah,
there's the one when they're in the front yard and she's like with the holes and he's on like, in the fence on the fence. That's a beautiful photo shoot, man. I know, you know, they're gonna treasure that shit forever. But let's share shit like that, you know. Let's share his music, let's share his interviews.
Yeah, because he definitely had a lot of game to give every time he spoke.
Oh yeah, whether it was his music or just, you know, just speaking on a panel. Yeah, just the interview. Something I want to touch upon a little bit, man, but I don't want to get too deep into. Oh, we might, man. It depends where it goes, man. I want to talk about the Dr. Sabi documentary that he was doing.
That was about the trial about Dr. Sabi proving that he cured AIDS.
Yep, in New York, and he won.
Yeah, he won
both
twice.
He went to court 2 days in a row, two different courts, one higher than the other, and he won. And you know, there's been a lot of shit going on online, the internet, social media, about conspiracy shit, that this is why he got killed, this and that. And I'm just gonna say this, man, like I'm into all that. First of all, I hate the conspiracy word, because that shit was created to make people that get close to something that's right or knowledge, make them look crazy. But at the same time, there is conspiracy people that are kind of nuts, and motherfuckers just run with everything too. So when you really do this knowledge shit, you really gotta read between the lines and be able to tell, like, you know, like these motherfuckers I was talking about it earlier, man, earlier this week, the Stay Woke gang. I hate that shit.
Yeah,
yo, I hate that. Like, it's not a hashtag, bro. Like you this shit ain't a trend. Like it disgusts me. Like, I think that shit is corny as fuck. That's some cornball shit. You know what I mean? Stay woke. Like, nah, man. Like, that shit, like I said in a post, man, I'm like, that shit is not like an alarm. I mean, that shit is it's not a trendy word. You know, when you're conscious, it's second nature. That shit is like, it's not an alarm clock that just wakes you up and you say stay woke because of whatever situation. You're conscious, that's it. You know what I'm saying? It's second nature. Like,
it's a flex. It's like trying to call somebody stupid because they don't share your viewpoint.
Yeah.
And that's not even realistic. To be honest with you, you should be building with that person if they have an opposing viewpoint and putting the entire picture together.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be shutting them out.
Yeah, because if you understand the format. Now, when it comes to the conspiracy side, and I get it. I get why some people think like that. But there's people that don't understand why they think like that. You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference. So I get it. You know, the obviously the government has their format throughout the years, you know, from the Black Panther Party to the COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program, you know, to all the shit with Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and all our black leaders that get shot dead whenever they try to rise. So I get it. People make the correlation and the connection.
J. Edgar Hoover said that his only job was to stop black liberation.
Yeah.
And J. Edgar Hoover supposedly had a black grandmother. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the shit ran deep.
Yeah. So, like, man, listen, the whole conspiracy shit, if you don't really understand the format of what you're talking about, then you shouldn't even talk about it.
Yeah.
But if you still don't understand, you shouldn't down it either. Like, I hear people saying, oh, it wasn't no government stuff, it was just some bum nigga from the hood, blah blah blah, which is possible, right? It could have just been that happened. But you know what, it could also still be that maybe he was involved somehow with that shit, you know what I mean?
And it's the circumstances.
It's possible. So like there's the people that are the conspiracy nuts that sound stupid as fuck, right? And then there's the people that shied away without looking at the other side. I can't respect that either. Look at both sides and then make your educated guess. Like, that's
use
the first
discernment.
Thing that's the first thing they teach us in school, right? Make a hypothesis, an educated guess. But they tell you to, all right, here's the problem, now what if it's this or what if it's that? And a lot of people are just looking at what if it's this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and they're not using their brain power.
Yeah, so
they're focused on other things and they don't want to put any energy into it.
Yeah,
and if that's how you feel about it, you should just say that. Like, I don't want to put any extra energy or thought into this.
Yeah,
say that and then be done with the cause.
Because, yeah, there's people that are really conscious and are really fighting for the community and are really interested. You think if Nipsey thought this was some bogus shit, he'd be wasting his time and money putting together a documentary like this? Nipsey even said himself, yo, because they brought it up in interviews, yo, if they take me out for this documentary, y'all better ride for me. And he didn't mean no shooting up shit, just get the knowledge out there. He meant
keep it pushing.
Keep it going. Let's get it out there. You know what I'm saying? So for Nipsey to say that, who was an intelligent brother, yeah, that ain't a conspiracy, man. Obviously, he did his work, man. Not everything is a conspiracy, bro. Like I said, that word was created to make motherfuckers that really are getting close to finding some shit out or whatever, make them look crazy or stupid or dumb. So now it's used right away as, you know, like calling somebody a fool. Yeah. That's bullshit. You know?
And even with the word conspiracy, it also has like a legal connotation to it. Like Kareem Biggs from Rockefeller, he was trying to hook somebody up with like a weed grower and like for like distribution and shit. Mm-hmm. And he's the one, like, since he gave someone a phone number and he called them and let them talk, he got conspiracy charges, conspiracy to create a drug lab, shit like that. So like, that's, you don't necessarily have to be directly involved with a crime to be charged with conspiracy, and conspiracy holds anywhere from 5 to 10 years depending on the situation and shit.
Yeah, man. So that just puts a whole nother thing in the rotation of the whole conspiracy world too, man. So all I gotta say about that is that, man, do I think it's a conspiracy? I don't know. Is it a conspiracy? I don't know. Did this dude just kill him because of that little beef? Possibly.
All I know is the results. Like, yeah, that's, the black community is hurt.
Exactly.
The Latino community is hurt.
If you, yeah, exactly. And if you study the format of our government and how they've taken out our leaders before, this is not too shy of the truth of being possible. You know what I mean? I get it. Yeah, maybe it was, dude. He was mad over the beef, but yo, maybe it wasn't, man. Maybe we gotta observe. We gotta be in observation mode right now. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I don't want to get too much into that, but just, I want to, you know, real quick about Dr. Sabi. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Sabi was a doctor from Honduras, who was a herbalist, like a holistic healer. He was taught by his grandmother, how to heal using herbs. And, he spoke a lot about, the carbon in us and the mucus in us and the melanin in us that helped either heal or give illness. Yes. And how to treat it. So like Craig said earlier, he went to court. Was it 95?
I want to say 85.
It was 85. It was one of those, man. I gotta don't quote us on that, man. Do your own research like we always say. But it was one of those years he went to court because he put out that he cured 13 people of AIDS, HIV/AIDS, and there's more people he cured of, supposedly other stuff too, like diabetes and sickle cell and things like that off of the herbs. So anyway, like Craig said earlier, he went to court for it and everything because they took him to court for like malpractice or whatever. But he won that case. And then I forgot, he went to a higher court, not the superior court, but he went to I don't know if it was federal court or some shit after the, you know, the regular court, and he won that one the next day too.
Yeah.
So, and you know, there's people there that, the people that don't support Dr. Sabi and shit like that too, that I see online, and you know, saying, oh, he didn't really do this or that. Yo, you gotta do your own research, man, and all that. So I tell people, but I was a supporter of Dr. Sabi as far as herbalist, because I'm, you know, I'm the same way. I'm all about organic healing and shit like that, and food and all that. So that's the story with Dr. Sabi. So Nipsey Hussle was doing the documentary on those court dates, basically, on how he won and basically beat the government from coming after him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's where the little conspiracy bullshit comes in, but that's here nor there. We're not going to get too much into that because I don't want to take away from Nipsey and the tribute we're giving him today. But go, I do urge you guys to go search Dr. Sabi up. It's Dr. Sabi, S-E-B-I, Sabi, Sabi, however you want to say it. So check out Dr. Sabi, and you can find him on, there's a bunch of lectures he has from when he was at like community centers or schools and colleges. On YouTube.
He's on the Rock Newman show for an interview.
Yeah, yeah. He was an intelligent brother, man. Even though he didn't go to school for none of that shit, man, he still helped heal people, man. Actually, one of the people that was at his compound and, you know, may the universe rest her soul, is Lisa Left Eye Lopez. She was there at his compound when she died. She died driving outside of his compound going somewhere. But she was there getting healed and cleansing her body and things like that. So, you know, he's been around for a long time. But yeah, just, you know, do your own research, man, and make your own assumptions. Don't just listen to some fucking meme on Instagram or people that are just bashing him that don't even fucking even know the story. Make your own judgment like you should do with everything else in life.
Use discernment. Weigh everything out.
Yeah, man.
Don't just take one point of view, because the world is made of different perspectives. We can all paint the same type of sunflower, but I guarantee you it's going to come out different from person to person. And the devil is in the details. Pay attention to the details.
Absolutely, man. Couldn't have said that better myself, man. But yo, I wanna play something that...
Some neighborhood nip?
Yeah. Well, actually, before we do that, I wanna play something I found not too long ago, and I put it on my my Facebook. I'm about to actually pull that joint up right now. It's actually Nip. I don't know what year it was, but he's in an interview. Let me see.
You know what platform it is?
I don't know what platform it is. It's not Vlad or nothing like that, I don't think. But it's a 10-year-old clip. And the irony in what he's saying, bro, is basically what happened to him, man. But it's important, man. And I just want to play that real quick, man, before we get into like any music or anything like that.
All right.
That you don't dealing with, but you still within reach of these people. It's very hard because you don't dealing with the pressures of trying to be successful, as well as the pressure of people intentionally waking up to try to bring harm your way. You know what I mean? To try to stop you from doing that. Because if I grew up on the same block you grew up on, we had the same trials and tribulations, but you became successful and I became a failure, it made me feel a certain way about myself. Because we had the same, we had dealt the same deck of cards. You know what I mean? So I feel like my success affects the people closest to me the most. A person that don't know me might root for me, you know what I mean, and be happy for me. The person that know me and come from the same environment, had the same core dealt it in, that keep going to jail, don't have no money, never made their parents proud or their mama proud, never did anything that they could look in the mirror and be proud of, you know what I mean? It can make them feel a certain way, and it's intense. And that shit manifests into jealousy, hate, violence. You know what I mean? It's deep because it's a stigma about artists becoming Hollywood, especially street artists going Hollywood. But it's almost like if you don't, you're going to sacrifice yourself for the opinions of others. You know what I mean? Some people look at you as a cheap career instead of in your heart doing what you know you had to do to attain your goal. So like I said, it's a cold balance.
Yeah, man. So it's basically what happened to him, you know what I'm saying? If you really listen to the irony, and that's crazy. And
he wanted to be close enough to touch, but the problem is that he was close enough to touch.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just when you have a heart, when you have a heart like that, bro, it's, even if people tell you to be careful, it's like you're gonna, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna dwell in that because that's what you want to heal,
exactly.
Fix. So this interview, there's no platform, man. Obviously, the sound is a little crazy.
Because it's older.
Yeah, it's 10 years old. So, Nip was 33. So, those are wise words right there coming from a 23-year-old. Because that was 10 years ago.
Yeah. They got an older clip where he's like, I want to say 17 or 18.
When he got the hat on with the little fro.
And he said, what you want to do? What you want to do? Like, well, I basically want to get into real estate.
Yeah.
This is a teenager. You know what I'm saying? Like, what teenager says, I want to own property? We're more worried about chasing pussy, drinking 40s, rolling weed, and not getting arrested. And this man said, I want to buy real estate. That was focus.
That is crazy, man. That's crazy. That shows you how sharp he's been since he was little. Even, where did I read it from, man? Was it Daylight? You know, Daylight y'all has been putting out some videos, man, speaking some hard truth after this shit, man. I think it was actually Daylight.
Daylight is spelled DAYLYT. He's a battle rapper from West California and
check
a great
him
street
out.
Crip. So he's definitely got some pertinent data on the issue.
So he had said that, you know, Nipsey's been a leader ever since school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He said in one story that I read I heard online,
he would play Peacemaker and shit when they played basketball.
That, and also he was the dude that you would hear on the loudspeaker telling everybody to have a good day at school. Like, he was in the office, you know, doing that. Like, yo, he was a born leader from the get, man.
Yeah.
So he was always that dude, the leader, the peacemaker. So he already had it in him, man. But yo, let's get into Let's get into some music, man. A little bit of a track here. This is one of your joints, actually, Craig. Because you've been a fan way longer than I have.
Yeah, this is about like 08, 09.
Yeah, so this joint right here is called Hood Star featuring Kabi Supreme and Hoods the Rob, man. Let's get into that.
Fire.
Music shit right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Sloss nav, nigga. Young, young. Hustle in the paps. Yeah. Hey, check this out.
That beat is sick right there.
Pretty hypnotic, bro.
Gonna fix your little makeup in the mirror and all that, you know? Look.
Just let me take you for a ride.
Come on.
Hey, baby, you're rolling with a good star.
This was from a mixtape, right?
Yeah, Bullets Ain't Got No Name, Volume 3.
Mm. Yeah, check me out though. Shit ain't come overnight. Used to walk out the house and see 100 niggas doubt me. Dope block, that was Kush Blunts on my balcony. So hot, first I think it, then I make it happen. Like, I bet you niggas thought I'd never make it rapping.
Definitely have flow.
Top off, gripping on the wood wheel. Bitch, get off your ass and grind, and this is
how you could feel.
This is how you should feel. Fresh as I wanna be. Spent 5,000 to put the
happiness under me.
Yeah, and I only ride luxury. For walking blocks so hot, they burn your fucking feet.
Yeah.
Now money ain't nothing to me.
This is beat.
Nah.
If I used
see,
to smoke,
to
this shit would have me trip.
Keep paying, I fuck up for free. See, that's the difference. I'm not in it for nothing but cheese. Cash flow, guap, nigga, moolah. Fast lane, pockets on swole when I cruise by.
Just let me take you for a ride.
That's like a, it's like a summertime chill joint too.
Yeah.
So this was from a Bullets Ain't Got No Names, Volume 3.1.
Yeah, Volume 3, I believe it came out in 2009. J-Rock from PE, J. Cole, Dude from Atlanta, who used to be friends to MMG, and Freddie Gibbs out of Gary, Indiana, who used to be friends to MG. They were all on the freshman cover of Double XL, and that's what got me to like tune into their music. And before anybody else, J-Rock and MG are the first to like it. And this was the first song that made me like a fan. I remember I'd play it for my homeboys. It would be like four of us riding around. And like, they're like, yo, who the fuck are you playing? Like, you always playing the most random niggas on earth. And I was like, bro, just vibe out. Like, it's some different shit from what's on the radio. He's like, nigga, turn the radio. Like, bro, just give it a shot. And
yeah.
I would just play this shit consistently. And one of my homeboys, Corey Cordell, he'd be like, oh, what, who the fuck is this? That's Nipsey Hussle. Where Hussle is his last name? Tell that motherfucker to hustle the fuck out the CD player and put some other shit up. And eventually, he like got so used to listening to it. Like, oh, word, that's a Nipsey Hussle? Yo, play like track 5, but don't play shit else from this. Turn the radio on after that. And eventually, he like started fucking with certain shit, I believe.
Yeah. And yeah, that's, you know what? Like, the for me, the West Coast sound, it has to be certain type of cats that I, you know what I mean?
I just
can't,
that.
I can't. So Nip is one of the sounds that I like, you know what I mean? He sound, he's flowing.
Yeah.
He's got that Cali swag, but he's flowing.
He still sounds traditionally New York, so
yeah,
to speak, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man. So he's definitely one of the dudes that that I'm going to be dissecting from Cali, man. Yo, so let's get into another one, man. This is from his last album, from Victory Lap. This is the song Dedication featuring Kendrick Lamar.
Look, my nigga, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. It's a real nigga celebration. It's a dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla wafers. It's the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation.
Yes.
Blue pill in the fucking matrix.
Tupac.
Red rose in the great pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it.
You can hear the growth too, man. In the other joint.
His breathing control is completely different at this point.
But deep down inside, he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real nigga reparations. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. Some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting.
Hit
up. Done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication.
Just the message right there.
Exactly.
The name of the track, what he's saying.
Yeah, stick with it and stay at it. Stay focused. And learn from your mistakes.
And this dropped when, you said?
This dropped last year. I want to say around the time the J-Rock album dropped as well.
Kendrick. I spent my whole life staring at the stage, playing Sega, daddy smoking Sherm, mama playing spades, catching vapors. Grandma said I'd get some Jordans for my grades, that's my baby. When she died, my heart broke 100 ways. I spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a lost shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it. Minor setback for major comeback, that's my favorite. My nigga L said you do a song with Nip. K-Dot, he a better grip. I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips about flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4, y'all living, giving to false imprisonment. Listen close, my nigga. It's bigger than deuces and foes, my nigga. Since elementary, we close, my nigga. You're straight like that. I give you the game, that's go dope. Back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands.
He gave him a tribute on his own shit. Yes, sir. Sick. They came up together, bro. They've been on tour together with Game and everything. TDE worked very closely with Nipsey Hussle. And for those that don't know, TDE is actually run by a bounty hunter blood. Top Dog is a bounty hunter blood. He pulled J-Rock in to get him off the streets to cultivate his talent. Kendrick came next. Kendrick is actually from another blood neighborhood, although he doesn't gangbang.
Yeah.
Schoolboy Q is a Hoover. And Absol is actually from a Crip neighborhood out of Curzon. So he basically crafted his label trying to get different perspectives of L.A. and try to unify people, and then people that like were outside of the camp but still work with them closely, like Nipsey Hussle, Glasses Malone, Scheme, who's actually a blood out of Inglewood. They all kind of vibe off of each other, and of course they shot videos in each other's neighborhoods, YG, shit like that, just to kind of like build on unification and show everybody you can get money without tussling. There's actually a video from the game called My Flag / The Homies. And you can literally see them in different neighborhoods and, like, basically, like, Bloods and Crips getting along. There's actually a behind-the-scenes video of that where some of the older cats kind of cool out the younger cats that started tripping off colors and shit.
Mm. That's powerful, man.
Yeah, Nip even spoke on, like, them, like, people trying to unify, what is it, RJ. RJ is a Pyru, and O3 Greedo, who's a Grape Street Crip. I'm more familiar with O3 Greedo than RJ, but instead of them beefing, they sat down, got together, and like talked everything out. They decided to do like a tour together, like RJ versus Greedo. So they would basically like every night they would switch. One of them would perform first, and then they would get on stage at the end and perform together, like just trying to show like we can make money together.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
But that's all off of like Nipsey's push and like Top Dog.
Yeah, you could tell that Nipsey has, you know, a lot to do with that, man.
Good.
So I want to play one more track, man. This is one I had picked out, man. Since I've been listening to him a lot more, man. This is from the DJ Drama mixtape that he did with Nip, Crenshaw, and this joint is called True Story. It's actually the last track on the album, man. And the reason I like this track, man, just listen to the words, man. Just listen to the words, man.
I like that.
I like the smooth beat too.
Yeah, he definitely had it. The mixtape
authority. We gone. Look, relate to you, I can't. If you's a fake nigga, we're level 4 in the state. What your mistakes get you?
Mm.
Rap niggas, they just want a double date with you. Twit pick and show these hoes that they affiliate with you. Labels used to treating rappers like a slave, nigga. Starving artists, just be happy with your fame, nigga. Shit changed, now it's such a different game. All the niggas like myself is controlling everything. If you pay attention, see exactly what I mean.
Listen.
Fuck the middleman. I said that in 2003.
Fuck the middleman.
Was 18, white Lincoln, chrome feet. Black 40 was my pillow every night I go to sleep. Grown niggas treat me like they OG. Holding on to every word that the tiny loke speaks. I had a vision that nobody else could see. Sold my shit to D-Mac, a little less than 10 G's. Brought my grocery bag of cash straight to Black Sail. He matched a nigga. Next day we went to Sam Ash. He bought a Pro Tools and a microphone. Studio was far from plush, but them lights was on.
Listen.
Couple hundred thousand stashed at my mama's home. Real estate in Atlanta, but ain't nobody know.
Nobody.
Mac 11's in the safe, hidden in the flow. My bro did it like nobody that I've ever known. Screens on every wall with 16 camera angles. Double pane, bulletproof glass, pushing past the haters. Cuban links and Rolexes, photo check from Epic. This industry ain't gotta like us, but they gon' respect it.
Respect
built
it.
The label up from money we was saving up. No details
in.
To the statute of limitations up. Couple niggas got flipped trying to play with us. The demonstrations speak loud, so I ain't saying much. Was a charismatic nigga, I don't play as much. Cause life is real when you live it in a place like us.
Jules,
school
man.
Pictures cracking smiles, now my face is stuck. Shell shocked to see how much they really hated us. Couldn't keep a kind heart, get your hatred up. Street smarts, nigga, get your information up. Watching belly smoking blunts take Jamaican puffs. One day I'ma have a house and car like Jamaican cuz. Credits roll back to stress pound breaking up. Had to fight before we hustled, and it made us tough. Early 90s, neighbor's rooster used to wake us up. Mama had a bucket and a shack, but we ain't make a fuss. Blue Cutlass, no license, 380 tucks. 96 Caprice, both the fast was saving up. They getting packed out if niggas try to fade with us. Crenshaw, Slauson, true stories, oh, play the drums.
Fire.
He's a teacher, man. He's a teacher, man. He's a leader. He's a warrior. Now a martyr. Revolutionary. Legend. Iconic. Legendary. Forever. Forever Nipsey Hussle. Yeah, man, that joint right there, it was smooth, and yo, it's just, his words are powerful, you know what I'm saying? And that's one of the joints that are standing out for me right now that are one of my favorites, man, now that I'm actually more in tune with him, man. But yeah, man, I wanted to just do a tribute show. Even, you know, it's the 1 year anniversary, I wanted to get that little celebration out the way in the beginning, but this is more important for me, for you, for everybody, I think. This is how we have to remember Nip, you know what I mean? Tributes like this, man. Talking about all the good he did, and how he grew, you know, from what he came from. We all make mistakes, you know, when we're young, but it's how we grow.
Exactly.
And how we radiate that new light that we found, you know what I mean? Because we got to find that light before we could radiate it, before we could understand it. And obviously, Nip was ahead of the game, man. He understood what he had to do a long time ago. That's why he won, man. That's why, you know, Mathematically Inclined, man, he named his album Victory Lap, because he won. You know what I'm saying?
Sir.
So he's gone, and we lost him, which is, you know, fucked up and terrible, but he left a lot of seeds here on this earth for us to use for the betterment of man and our people and communities and communities that have more struggles than others. So let's remember that, man. Let's remember Nip for that. Nip, we love you, man. You know what I'm saying? May you revolution in peace, like I've been saying. Rest in peace. And once again, Interwebians, man, thank you for tuning in. I know I've been gone for a little while, but like I said, we've been busy. Please love each other out there, man. Let's take this as, you know, a lesson, man. Been too many lessons that we've gotten like this, and we need to actually start listening and just love each other, man. Bring each other up. Let's help each other. Let's not tear each other down. Let's build each other up. Let's grow together. So my people, listen, man, you already know how this goes. We'll see you next week. Check out all the links. Gorilla Podcast Network, Backyard Mecca Show, you already know. So I'm going to leave y'all like this, like we always do, man. Craig, real quick, thank you for being here again, man.
Appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, brother. You know you'll be back up here, man. I'll have you up here soon, man. But my people, man, remember, if you could accumulate that thought in your mind, that means it is out there. And if it is out there, all you have to do is go get that shit. Peace.
Yeah, easy.
Rest in peace, Nip.
You know, if you look at like the movie industry, you know basically sets off how many tickets sold, you know, like what's the gross, how much gross?
Period.
Right.
When it comes to business, the bottom line is, you know, we in business to make money, how much you gross? And so it's like I feel like it's a looming question mark over Hollywood, over the entertainment music industry. What's the new business model? And to me, you know, the people that lead to that answer, and then they intelligence, they hustle, they effort, they mind power, they, you know, whatever they can offer to that question, and to fix that, coming up with an answer to that, I feel like that's one of the most important things going on. Like, in the 60s, they were trying to get to space, it was the right space, they were trying to go to, you know, the moon, and then it was like, they had industrial revolutions, and right now, I think it's the business model. Creators of this new era that's going to be able to be the titans of business moving forward, to get back creating new business models, you know, as well as products that, you know, are sold and consumed and services that are consumed via these models. But I feel like the giants are going to be the ones who create the business models. That's what we're trying to do with this Proud to Pay, Fuck the Little Man, and, you know, this disruptive multimedia.
Tune in next week for another episode of the Backyard Mecca Show podcast. This is a Gorilla Podcast Network production.